And since God is doing something, I feel that we're going to enjoy this meeting here. I want you to read with me a little bit from over in the book of Mark. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. Jesus, in the 9th chapter of the book of Mark, he says here in the 23rd verse, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. I noticed that in Mark 11, over in the 11th chapter of Mark, in the 22nd verse, Jesus again speaks of faith, and he says here, And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, I want you to notice here that Jesus is speaking of something that most people don't understand, and that is faith. He says here that we are to have faith in God. This came about because Jesus, in the morning, going over to Jerusalem, passed by a fig tree, perhaps not having eaten any breakfast. He was hungry, so he desired fruit. And when he came under the tree, there was no fruit on the tree. Now, it wasn't time for figs. So, when there was no figs, Jesus said, There will be no fruit on thee henceforth and forever. Now, history tells us that at the very time that Jesus cursed this fig tree, it was at this very time that they were having a meeting in Jerusalem, and this meeting was to oust Jesus and to crucify Jesus. Said at the very time that this was taking place, that they were planning to crucify Jesus. So it's obvious here that this tree had a great meaning, and that meaning was that they were to be cut off, that God was going to cut them off because he had seen the mischievousness. And so then Peter, after that this proclamation was made by Jesus, Peter, remembering this, that when they went by Jesus, having done this, Peter called to remembrance and said, Lord, the fig tree that thou hast cursed is withered away, and that from the roots. Now, as a rule, fig trees or any other kind of trees don't wither from the roots. As a rule, they don't wither from the roots. So then he marveled because he knew that this was an unusual thing. If Peter had come by and he had just saw the fig tree withered, he perhaps would not have thought much about it. Because ordinarily a tree, if it starts dying, if it has a little problem, some kind of a disease, it'll start dying from the top, you know, and the sap will begin to back out of it. Peter perhaps would not have noticed that. But the thing is, when he noticed that this was dying from the roots up, then he knew something unusual was taking place. And he called to remembrance that Christ had cursed this tree. Knowing that he had cursed this tree, then it stirred Peter, because Peter walked with the Lord Jesus. And Peter knew that Jesus was a man, just like he was a man. You know, a lot of times when we think of Jesus, we fail to acknowledge the fact that Jesus was a man, just like I'm a man, and just like you are a human being or a man. So then we fail to recognize that or to acknowledge that. And because of that, we lose a lot of wonderful benefits that we could have in God. See, but Peter walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus when he was tired. He saw Jesus when he lay down to sleep. He saw Jesus when Jesus was hungry and when he was beside himself because he was weary. You know, that is to the extent that he had just gone and gone and gone and wouldn't quit for God's sake. So then Peter, seeing this, He knew that Jesus was a man. And here they walk together. Jesus, a man. Peter, a man. Both of them, just men. And as they walked along together, he heard this man, just a simple, plain man, just like I'm a man. He heard this man, and this man talking to a fig tree, displeased because there wasn't any fruit on it. He just simply said, "There will be no fruit on thee henceforth and forever." So then Peter, calling this to remembrance, he came by and he said, "Master," he said, "this tree is withered up," and said, "it has died from the roots." Said it has withered up and died from the roots. And he just marveled at it. And Jesus said, "Don't marvel at this, Peter." He said, "If you think this is something," said, "just listen at what I'm about to say." He said, "What I did to the fig tree," or "what was done to the fig tree," said, "don't marvel over that." He said, "Because I say unto you that whosoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now to me, this is one of the greatest challenges there is in the Bible. When you read that, to me, that is one of the greatest challenges, because Jesus did not specify any certain person. He did not specify any sect of religion. No religious group did Jesus lift up as to saying this people can do this and this people cannot do it. He never magnified any certain person. He never lifted up the rabbis. He never said that the Jews were special people and could do this and the Gentiles could not. He simply made the statement, he said, "What has been done to the fig tree can also be done by anyone that will say that and believe that and not doubt in their heart." And he said, not only that that's been done to the fig tree, he said, "but that you want done, if you will just say that in your heart, not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that the things that you're saying is coming to pass," he said, "then you shall have whatsoever you say." Now to me, I think that's marvelous. I think that's wonderful, because that brings me into the picture. That brings you into the picture. That makes it to where you and I can do something for God. You know, if it had been a special thing, if it had been a special people, then I would have been left out. But seeing that it was not a special thing, it was not a special people, then tonight I have the privilege of living by faith. And for numbers of years, I've lived by faith, and my wife and I have traveled across the world, all around the different parts of the world, preaching the gospel to those in foreign countries and preaching the gospel to those that are local. Whether in a street meeting or whether in a tent meeting or whatever, we have continued to preach the gospel until our ministry has spread across the world. And in our printed ministry today, it is in every major language of the world and many of the subsidiaries. So then, it gives me an opportunity to move by faith. I come here and set this tent. You can't hardly set a tent now under about $7,000 to $10,000. It'll take more than that away from our operation to be able to set this tent and have a meeting here. And at the same time, we're setting another meeting down in New Iberia, Louisiana. They've already got it published. It's already on the TV, radios, and whatever there, which takes about that much more money to be able to set it there. But by faith we go, and by faith we look to God, and by faith God does it. He always works one miracle right after another miracle, doing something for us. It's like a little meeting that we was in a few days ago. We was praying and asking God to do a certain thing, and I told my wife something that was going to happen because it had a great spiritual significance. We was under a small tent. It wasn't very big. Had a lot of people there to preach to. And under this tent, God began to move because something special was happening. And during this meeting, God gave us a brand new Lincoln. He gave it to us because it had to do with a special spiritual thing. God gave it to us not because we desired it, not because we wanted it, because God has given us Lincolns numbers of times, and He's given us Cadillacs and all kinds of vehicles, and He's given us this tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars because we have to have it to operate. See, there's no way that you can do anything for God unless you believe. It's like I told my wife a lot of times. I said, "Betty, there isn't any reason to set a tent unless you've got faith in God. I see a lot of people say, I'd love to have a tent. And I've given them tents just to see what they would do with them. And I told my wife, I said, they're not going to do anything with it. I said, they don't have the faith to do anything with it. But they want that. They think that that's what they need, and they think that that's what they can handle. And so then they ask for that, and then they can't do anything with it. So then it's like I told my wife, I said, what's the need of me as an evangelist going and preaching to the people if I can't live by faith? I said, that's what it's all about. See, if I can't live by faith, I can't preach faith to you. But I must preach faith to you. Therefore, I must live by faith. I must understand faith, and I must follow after faith. If I cannot live by faith, if I cannot take care of my own needs by faith, then I don't have any business preaching to you. And you know, ministers, a lot of ministers in the world today, base the list. Every meeting they have, the whole thing centers around money. And they're always soliciting for money. Whereas they travel around the world, and they solicit money continually. But that's not the way to do it. If you're living by faith, that's not the way to do it. It's not for me to preach faith to you just to get you to give me a dollar. That's not faith. See, I preach faith, I get you stirred up, I get you lifted up. I could preach to the people. I've seen the time when I could have taken their shoes off of their feet because the people are sincere. People of God are sincere. But then they preach to the people to have the people to give to them money. We didn't come here to preach to you to get you to give us money. See, God said that we ought to live by faith. Like the little tent meeting we were speaking of a few days ago. We never took any money out from under there. We let the one that had the tent take the money. Like a little Baptist church that we preached at a few nights ago. They'd been pressing on us to come and preach. We didn't take any money from them. We let them have the money. See, and many times in our lives, many times in our ministry, we've gone by faith. That God might prove faith in our life, that our faith in God might grow greater and mightier, and that we might move in the Spirit of God and do something for Christ. This is why that we believe in the revelation of the Lord. This is why we see the revelation of the Lord, is because there's no gimmicks, there's no make-believe. We're trying to do something for Christ, and we're trying to do something for God's people. I believe that one day you and I are going to stand before the judge of all the earth. I believe that you and I are going to be standing there before Almighty God. And if I use gimmicks before you, then I'm going to have to pay for it. And if you go out and you use gimmicks, you're going to have to pay for it. So then God is not looking for a ministry where people use gimmicks. God is not looking for ministers just to set up a tent or have some kind of show or to put on something to entertain people that they may draw the crowds and the multitudes so that they can make some kind of a show. God is looking for a spiritual move that will indoctrinate the people in His Word and bring the people together in His Word and cause the people to be elevated in a different place up here in a greater dimension to where that they can see into the heavenly things and become great and mighty people in the earth and rise up and take the kingdoms of this world for Christ. This is what God wanted. So then, the thing that we need to do is come together as God's people. Not in a denominational walk of life. I say again, we have nothing against those people. I preach to them. They come in and out of our meetings. We have a lot of people from different denominations. Even people from the Catholic Church. They turn out for our meetings. Not too long ago, we saw a priest converted. We talked to him and he was converted to Christ. Now, what I'm saying is this. Those people are looking for God. Those people want God. All of those people are religious. There's a reason for them being religious. They wouldn't spend their time looking for something unless they had a desire for God. You can't curse the Assemblies of God. You can't curse the Baptists. You can't curse the Methodists. You can't even curse the Catholic people. Those people are looking for something, or they would not separate themselves even unto a religious move that's in the world today. See, they're looking for something. They're searching for something. And a lot of times you and I, we find ourselves, if we're not careful, wanting to fight against some sect of religion or fight against somebody, we find ourselves doing that because of our own shortcomings. Find ourselves wanting to find fault with them. See, when the fault lies within us, those people are looking for something. You say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. You and I, we are those that profess the high standards of holiness.
We're those that profess the great standards of salvation. We're the ones that say that we're sons of God. We're the ones that say that we're the cream of the crop, that we're supposed to be leaders in the earth, and all the rest of them are but babes, and they should follow us. Then if that is true, why is it that we're not moving up in God? Why is it that we're not searching the thing out and trying to do something for those people? Why is it that we blame the people instead of trying to reach out there and get the people or work in and out among the people to get their attention so that we can bring them to a greater place in God? Now tell me, why do we do that? If we're the great people, if we're the great leaders of God, and I believe I'm a son of God. I believe tonight that God is with me. I believe that I'm a son of God. I make it my business to try to reach out, to reach people. It doesn't matter who they are. I don't agree with many of them's doctrine. I don't agree with their way of life. A lot of things I don't agree with. It's like a brother in Christ that we have over in the area where we're at. He has become the administrator of the hospital there. He's over the whole thing, and he and I have talked quite a bit in the last few days. As a matter of fact, we was talking today. And I was telling him, you know, this is the way I feel. I said, you know, I feel this way about religious people. And this is a good typical thing here. I said, you know, the hospital is a very wonderful thing, a very needy thing. The Bible speaks of medicine, you know, that it doeth good. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It speaks of pouring in the oil and the wine in the wound and binding up. I said, it's such a wonderful thing. I said, it's not repulsive to God at all. I said, God appreciates it. I said, but one thing that we need to realize is that healing is not in medicine. I said, we've got to acknowledge God and understand that God is the healer, that God is the deliverer. There is no healing medicines. There is no healing medicine. There's never been any healing medicines. The Bible said, and in that day there'll be no healing medicines. And as I told him, I said, if healing is in medicine, why is it the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines? If healing is in the medicine, why doesn't healing remain in the medicine? I said, the thing is, God knows that we've been babies, we've been little folks, and we've not been able to believe, we've not really put our faith out to God and not trusted in God. And because of that, being babes, He has raised up some way to where we can find a little bit of deliverance from the hands of the devil through medical aid. I said, so then what God is upset about is that when we sin, that is when we sin against God and go contrary to God and do like the man did that was smitten in the feet. He done contrary to God. He was smitten in the feet. He sought the physicians rather than God, so he died. Seeing when we get to the place to where we're leaning on the arm of flesh and we're trusting in medicines, and that's all we do. We just go every time we get a pain, every time something goes wrong. What we do, we turn to the arm of flesh. We go down to Egypt for our help. And the first news you know, God is really upset about the situation. See, God is wanting us to grow. God is wanting us to exercise our faith. God is wanting us to put forth a little effort. When things happen, when pains happen, when problems come, God is wanting us to try to press in and believe and give Him a chance to heal our bodies and give Him a chance to help us. See, if you have a pain, if you have a problem, if something's going wrong with you, there is something in your body, then you must be doing something that's not in the will of God. You must be getting on the devil's territory somewhere. You might be a good fella. You might be a fine woman. But see, you might be getting out there somewhere on the devil's territory and you're giving him a chance to hurt you. See, you need to do something about it, folks. You need to press in a little bit and do something about it. You need to get a little closer to God. You need to come in just a little bit closer to God so that God can do something for you. How do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody say, praise the Lord. So then God is looking for you and I to leave an example. God is looking to you and I that we might be raised up, that we might be alight, that we might be healthy, that we might be strong, that we might go forth into all the earth as a light. See a bright light shining in the presence of mankind that they may see what we're doing. To glorify our Father which is in heaven, our good works. So then I said that to try to make a point. And that is a lot of the people that's in the denominational walks of life. They're great people. And some of them have faith in God. They're great people, but they're not advancing in Christ. Folks, they are not advancing in Christ. They're not moving on with God. They're not trying to create a vision for more diligence in Christ. or to become holy and to become just. The Bible said, let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on unto perfection. Let us be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Years ago, men kept moving up in God. Men kept moving up. They were always trying to move up. They wanted to fast a little more. They wanted to pray a little more. They wanted to get a little closer to God. They had a vision. But see, people are filled with complacency. In the day that we're living in, they don't want to do that. They just want to kind of settle down and have the best in life and see if they can have a little more finance. And you know, folks, it's sad to say, but the evangelists are in the same condition. Can you say amen? I said the evangelists are in the same condition. I'm out there among them. I know what they're doing. See, they're in the very same condition, and they're not moving up in God, they're not fasting, and they're not praying, and they're not going on to try to be greater in Christ as to a life of holiness. They're not doing it. So there's a complacency in the world today. And that complacency, as I say, is not only among the church, but it is among the ministers. The denominational world today is in worse shape than it's ever been. Greater church. More in number, greater, but still not moving on with God. They're still not moving on with God. I talk to so many of them, and they're just little bitty babes. Just little bitty babes. And the Bible said, wherein that you ought to be teachers, you still have need that you be taught, which is just the beginning of the principles or the oracles of Christ. See, wherein you ought to be teachers. That's why I said what I did earlier. We're supposed to be the leaders. We're supposed to be them that's out there doing something for God. But you better listen, folks. Don't get upset with me now. Just listen. But you know what's wrong with us? You know what's wrong with us? We pout a little bit. We fuss a little bit. We're jealous a little bit. We have envy. We have strife. We backbite a little bit. We cheat a little bit. Swindle a little bit. Manipulate a little bit. See, and we're one thing in our brother's face, and then we're something else when our brother's gone. See, and instead of lifting up our brother, helping our brother, doing something for our brother, we put our brother down, and we talk against our brother. And you know what happens? After a while, you keep taking the pillars out from under something, and it's going to fall in on you. You're the man that sits up here on the limb and cuts it off over here, and him sitting out here, he's going to fall with the limb. Isn't that right? You keep cutting people down, and after a while, there ain't going to be no limbs for you to sit on. If you keep cutting this fella down and that fella down and this woman down over here and somebody else, after a while it's going to catch up with you. And you're going to find out that there ain't nothing for you except problems and heartaches and sorrows. And you're going to find out that the fella that you rooted up was your own tree. Somebody say praise the Lord. See, you're going to find out that the very one that you rooted up was you yourself. That's where the problem is. So then that's why I say we're not here tonight to speak against people. We're not here to speak against those that belong to denominational groups. We're not here for that. But we are here to preach the gospel. We are here to preach against sin. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. If you're sinning, you're going to hell. It doesn't matter who you follow, what evangelist you follow, whether he's a TV evangelist or whether he's a tent evangelist or whatever he might be. He might be a street evangelist. But brother, if you don't have a life of holiness and if you don't live holy, you're going to hell. You're going to hell, and I can't change it. No other evangelist can't change it. It's by faith in the Word of God that you're saved. And if you don't have faith in the Word of God, you can't be saved. And listen now, don't get upset when I say this. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a believer. How many believers with God? Let me see your hand. Somebody would say, I'm a believer, Brother Pike. So then if I'm a believer, you couldn't be speaking about me. If I'm a believer, then that means that whatever you're preaching tonight, Brother Pike, in preaching against sin and all these other things, then you couldn't be talking about me. But I want you to listen. Do you really believe that you're going to heaven because you are a believer? Now listen. Do you believe that? The assemblies of God, because they are believers, do they really believe that they're going to heaven? The Baptists, they're believers too. Do they believe that they're going to heaven? And the Catholics, they're believers too. Now, do they believe they're going to heaven? You would say, well, of course they do, Brother Pike. Well, then what about this part of it? The devil is a believer too. Do you think he thinks he's going to heaven? How do you believe that the devil believes he's going to heaven? The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes. And the devils tremble when they think about it. God doesn't just save men because they believe. It takes more than believing, just more than believing, to be a Christian. You say, well, Brother Pike, what does it take to be a Christian? It takes faith in God. Somebody would say, well, now, Brother Pike, that's what believing is. No, I beg your pardon. If believing is faith in God, then that means the devil's got faith. And if the devil's got faith, that means he's saved. And I don't believe that he is. So then it takes more than believing. All of these churches that believe, that doesn't mean that they've got salvation. It doesn't mean that they're going to heaven. It doesn't mean that God has accepted them. You understand what I'm saying? But brethren, you've got to have faith in God. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, faith in God? The Bible said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The same Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as the Son of God. The same Word, the same to 1,000 generations. This Word that came forth and put on flesh. Faith in the Word. The Bible said when the minister is speaking, it shall not be him speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within him. The Holy Spirit. You're the temples of God. So then, the Word. The Bible said in the last days, and some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. It doesn't mean they'll depart from believing. It doesn't mean that they'll depart from believing. And I say, what do you mean? It doesn't say that they'll depart from believing. Because the Bible said they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In the last days, they will depart from the faith, not from believing. They obviously believe, but they believe in doctrines of devils. You say, what is the doctrine of the devil, Brother Pike? Anything that's not the doctrine of Christ. Can you say amen? You say, well, what is departing from the faith if this is the last day and many people's going to do it? Departing from the Word. Having faith in disciplines. Having faith in doctrines. Having faith in religious organizations. Having faith in evangelists. Having faith in things. Having faith in creeds. Or not faith, but believing, that is. Believing in all these things. We use the terms faith because that's the way it gives it. That's a human expression. But that's not faith. They do believe in those things. They do have what you call faith in those things. You say, well, is that real faith? Human faith. They have faith in it. It's human faith. But human faith cannot save you. I'm not sanctified by human faith. I'm not saved by my faith. The Bible said I'm sanctified by the faith of Christ, the faith which is in Christ. And the Bible tells us that until this great, wonderful faith came, that all of them were shut up under the law. Every man that has fallen from grace is under the law. He's shut up under the law. And until he can come to this great, wonderful faith of Christ Jesus, the faith by which we're sanctified, then we're still under the law. And we'll pay according to the penalty of the law. Because no flesh can be justified by the law. And by the law comes sin and transgression. And every person is guilty. Unless they can come to the faith of Christ Jesus. And we don't have time to elaborate on that tonight. But God being with us one of these nights, we'll elaborate on what I'm speaking of here as to what faith is. But now, speaking of human faith. They have a belief. They have a conviction in all kind of human dogmas. They prophesy in Baal. That is, when they prophesy, they don't prophesy from the mind of Christ. They don't prophesy from the Spirit of God. They don't prophesy from the anointing and inspiration of God. They prophesy in Baal. They prophesy in the flesh. Baal, God of the flesh. They prophesy in Baal. They prophesy in the things they think, the things they want, the things that they feel, and the things that they're looking for. You know, like not too long ago, I heard of somebody, a woman that I know of. She's supposed to be an outstanding evangelist. And she draws a big crowd. So she said, $25 prophecy, $100 prophecy, whatever kind of prophecy you want, that's the kind we got. You know, if it's $25, we'll give you a $25 prophecy. If it's $100, we'll give you a $100 prophecy. And did you know that people in the world today are so blind and so ignorant today that they swallow that thing up just like a dog after a bone? What is it? God said, because they had not a love for the truth, I'll send them stone to to let them believe a lie. Cause them to believe a lie and let them be damned. Because they didn't believe the truth. They didn't want to hear the truth. And so then God sends them the strong delusions. And they believe a lie. And the Bible said they will be damned. So then, what should we do, folks? We should believe the Lord. And they will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So then that means that there's hundreds and millions of people in the world today that are on their way to hell, but they're still believers. I appreciate a man that called me from the Carolinas yesterday. Called me. He wanted me to pray for somebody that was in the hospital that had a tumor on their brain. He said it like this, said, "Preacher, you're the only one that I know can help me. Stranger. Said, you're the only one that can help me." I said, "Well, what is it? What are you talking about?" And he told me about this certain thing. And then he started to cry. He said, "I heard about a snake bite." I thought, "A snake bite?" And then I remembered. The other night, a boy by the name of Randy came over to the house. He'd been bitten by a snake. And I looked and saw the fang marks. And he said he struck him in his foot and went up through here, all up into his arm and into his chest. And he said it was the nearest thing to death that he had ever felt. He was scared. He was terrorized. He was torn to pieces. And he came to us. And we prayed for him. He didn't go to a doctor. He immediately turned his faith toward God. And God worked a miracle for him. He began to believe. We prayed for him. Seeing the boy's all right. Everything turned out right for him. We said everything will be okay. And it was okay. Well, this man had heard about it. It had gone from that town of that state over into the other state, up in the Carolinas. And he was crying. He was crying. He said, "Preacher, I'm on my way to hell." He said, "But I still believe, preacher." He said, "But I know I'm on my way to hell." He said, "I'm not a Christian." He said, "I believe, but I'm not a Christian." Now see, that boy had some things straight right there. See, and he was crying. He was begging for help. And because of this miraculous thing that God had done, it had stimulated his faith. It made him want to be saved. Like Paul, when Paul was bitten by the viper, and when the poison did not do anything to Paul, they said he's a god. And they began to fall down to worship him because some great miraculous thing had taken place. See, I said that to say this, that God will move by faith. The boy believed God. He turned to God. And then he said, after I prayed for him, he said, "You know, it's a strange thing." He said, "But my brother had a dream a few nights ago," and said, "My brother was bitten by a snake." And said, "In the dream, my brother said that," he said, "it's a good thing that I didn't depend on you doctors to heal me." Said, "And I looked to God," he said, "because you couldn't have done anything for me." And so it was strange because he didn't get bit. The other boy got bit. But because of faith in the boy's heart, looking to God. This is why I say that a lot of you, you're not looking to God. You're looking at the man of the Bible. You're looking to the medical profession. You're leaning on the arm of flesh. You're going down to Egypt for your help. You're not trying to get away from those things. Not trying to build up your faith in God and move in the Holy Ghost. You're not doing that. You're still going on. And you know that you've done wrong. You know that you've not done right. See, this particular boy, he knew that he hadn't done right. He should have been in church. He knew that that wasn't right. Like the boy I talked to today at the hospital. I talked to him, he's injured his back. A healthy, strong young man. See, and he's been driving a truck all over the country. But he'd come to church. He'd got all out of sorts, got his mind on the world. And I told him, I said, "You can't do that." I said, "Richard, you can't do that." But he went on anyway. So the other day he started to get into his truck, he slipped. When he slipped, he fell. He ruined his back. And the doctor said, "You won't drive a truck anymore, Richard." Said, "Your truck driving days are over because you've done something to the back." And he explained some of what it was. And the man's in a terrible condition. See, why did that happen to him? Because he didn't seek God. He didn't go on with God. He didn't follow after God. He didn't ask of God. The Bible said, "Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and God will direct your path." If you go to visit your relative, somebody says, "Now, Brother Pike, you sound eccentric." When you go to visit your relatives, acknowledge God first. When you go to work in the morning, acknowledge God first. Maybe God's wanting you to do something else for a change. Whatever you go to do, ask God first. Acknowledge God first. Check upon that thing first. See what's involved. See what God is doing. Find out what God wants. You know, you get to preaching along these lines. A lot of people, they get shaky because, boy, they've got deep roots in the world.
They'll tell you that they're following God, but what they're doing, they're putting those roots deeper and deeper in the financial securities and the different things of the world. And they'll tell you of all the plans and social benefits that they've got from their for their family. And they've got God, as the songwriter said, so ruled out. Everything is so well planned that they've left God's part out altogether. Folks, let me tell you something. This brother that's an administrator, he was shook up a little bit the other night. I made a statement. He asked me about it today. I said, listen. I said, anybody, it doesn't matter who it is. I said, if they can't leave their job and done for God, they don't have salvation. I said, if God tells you to do something for Him today, and you got an obligation to man over there, and you can't leave it alone, I said, you don't have salvation. It really got him shook up. I had to do a little talking with him today. But folks, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how important you are in the world, whether you're the president or the senator or whoever you are, when God says do something, then you need to do it. I had somebody the other day, they left off with a printing down there. I went over to check it out, check the presses, and somebody said, well, said he had a real urgent thing to come up, a real important thing. I said, he did? He said, yeah. I said, well, isn't this that he's doing for God urgent and important? I said, I thought that was the most important thing of all. God said, seek ye first, didn't he? God said, seek ye first. How many believe in seeking first? God said, seek ye first. And so then people begin to seek. But God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But somebody sought a home, and somebody sought an automobile, and somebody sought a good name, and somebody sought credit, and somebody sought a little something to fix them a nest egg. Come on, folks. And decided that when they get all this done, that they're going to serve God. All they got to do is finish making brick down in Egypt. When they finish making brick, then they're going to take time out for God. Are you listening? I've told this a number of times. I know of a case where we was having a prayer meeting, and I told this man, I said, God wants you to go preach the gospel. He said, Brother Pike, said, that's right. I said, you got that right. He said, and I'm going to do it. He said, all I'm doing is paying for my little home here. I said, I bought my little home, and I'm going to pay for my little home, and I'm going out and preach the gospel. But that wasn't what God said, see. God didn't say seek the home first. God said seek the kingdom first. So then the man sought the home first. He paid for the home, folks. But you know what happened? There was a little lake out back of that house, and when he got the house paid for, he was ready to go preach. But his little son, I believe it was, got drowned right there in the lake. The same piece of property that he put before God. That's where your heartaches come from. That's where your wrecks come from. That's where your sorrows come from. See, you're leaning on the arm of flesh. You're not going on with God. You're not talking with the Lord. You're not putting God first. You know what we need to do? We need to turn that thing around. Get God first. Put God out there first. Let God be in the front of you. God lifts up one. God puts down another. God makes kings. God makes great men. Isn't that right? The Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh the rich and adds no sorrow. God makes you to ride upon the high places of the earth. God feeds you with the heritage of Jacob. The Bible said you shall be like a tree that's planted by the water, bringing forth your fruits in your season, and your leaves will not wither. And whatever you do will prosper. God said that. See, God's got something for you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, God's got something for you. If God tells you to leave a job that's important, well, that day God wants you to do something. God's not the author of confusion. God isn't going to cause any problem. If God's wanting you to leave, it might be that you're going to kill that day. Or if God's wanting you to leave, God's got something better for you. See, and if God's wanting you to do that, then do it, folks. Do it. God's got something far greater. God raised up Daniel, made him the third ruler in the kingdom. God made the Hebrew children governors over Babylon. See, God's got something for you. When you walk with God, when you go with God, when you do what God wants you to do. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then God wants us to do something for His kingdom and move out. He's tired of His people making brick and staying down in Babylon, planning for the future when there isn't any future. Always stacking up out there when the others are starving to death. The poor needs help. The hungry, the needy, the widow, the orphan. And we're continually stacking up. Come on, folks. It's a bad day for America. It's on its way. It's on its way. When you go overseas and see those things over there, I'm sure some of you have. It's a bad day for America. She's stacking up. I mean, she's really stacking up. Somebody said, we hope. We've not hoped near what we should have done. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible said, as is written, he that giveth much had nothing left over. And you got too much left over in America. And as the Bible said, as it is written, he that giveth little had no lack. And so that so many people around the world still have lack. Even in America, they still have lack. So then we need to do something. Isn't that right? What do we need to do, Brother Pike? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Not believe. Have faith in God. That's real true believing. Have faith in God. Who is God? God is the Word. What does the Word say? You know what it says. We preach it to you. We preach it to you. You read it. Whatever it says, do it. Do it. Like at the marriage supper. Said, whatever He tells you, do it. Do it. See, whatever He tells you, do it. Don't just act like you believe it. As you've had a will, have a performance. The child is known by his doings. Faith is shown by your doings. You understand what I'm saying? So then, let's rise up. Let's take the kingdom for God. This is the move of God. This is something that God's going to do with Brother Pike or without Brother Pike. And He's going to do it with you or without you. It doesn't matter to God. God's going to do it. Like when He started into Jerusalem, He needed the Jewish people. But they didn't rally. And they mocked Him. And the Lord said to them, said, let me tell you. Said, if you hold back the praise that belongs to Me, and if you don't praise Me, said, God is able to raise up children from these rocks that will praise God. You love the Lord? I saw a vision where the trees praised Him. I saw them bow down before Him. I saw Him as He moved down a little road, and I saw Jesus. And I saw the trees, the great big trees, when He came by, as they just bent over and done obeisance to Him. I saw huge boulders that I couldn't even get my arms around, I don't guess. And I saw them roll out of sockets that looked like it had been made for years there with the indenture in the ground. And I saw them roll out of that and roll over and forth before Him as to take a bow to Him. See, God is not short of things to praise Him. Everything, He said, let everything in heaven and earth, let everybody. And as I live, saith God, every knee shall bow to Me, and every tongue shall confess of things in the heavens and things in the earth and things under the earth. And John said, and I heard the things in heaven, and I heard the things in the earth, and I heard the things under the earth, saying, glory and praise and honor and majesty be unto Him. So then God wants His people to get out of Egypt. He wants them to get out, and He wants them to praise Him. I want you to stand with me tonight. I've exhorted you here just a little bit concerning faith. Faith, you say faith for the Pike, faith by the hearing of the Word. A lot of people would depart from the Word in the latter times. Do you believe the Word? Folks, if you don't believe the Word, you're on your way to hell. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what program you belong to. It doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. If you don't have faith in the Word, you're on your way to hell. There is no faith aside from the Word. You can believe what you want to, but there is no faith outside of the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And if you don't believe in the Word, you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you don't go to heaven. Faith is in the Word of God. So then many shall depart from the Word of God in the last days. But folks, I don't want to depart from the Word of God. I don't want to go around being a believer. As the Bible said, if you believe, the devil does too. If you believe, the devil does too. I don't want to do that. I want to have faith in God. I want to get out of my own reasoning. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. Somebody said, Brother Pike, how close is this? All right, let's say it like this. Lean not to thine own understanding. Not to thine own understanding. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He'll direct your path.